Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, founder of Hug Nation and First Saturdays, John Halcyon.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Stephen Day. I am Mark Leger, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so excited about this particular show. I am inspired. So inspired, in fact. We're calling it Think Pink, if you haven't noticed. So inspired, in fact, that I actually went to my closet looking for something pink to wear. And happily, I found it. Unfortunately, it didn't fit. So I decided to wear ripped jeans instead. Now, why might you ask I connect ripped jeans and something pink? Well, I'll tell you. Growing up, I always was the one that was doing something wrong just by either being or because of the fact that we didn't have money to be different, any different. And we grew up, us kids, my brothers and sister and I, in an affluent community. So when we weren't blending in with the latest and the quote-unquote greatest, we were definitely standing out. And so if I had ripped jeans, people would make fun of me because they knew we were poor and couldn't afford jeans. And now these days, there are jeans out there that I've seen myself for $1,000, and somebody actually goes and rips them, and so that's a cool thing to do. And I think, how interesting that I grew up thinking that I was poor and bad and not cool and not hip and all that because I had to wear ripped jeans or I had to wear high waters or in the case of what I wanted to wear, like I got a scarf and I wanted to wear it, and every time I wore it, people made fun of me. Or I bought a pink hat one time that I thought was really cool, and I wore it, and people made fun of me because, quote-unquote, pink was for girls. And so here we are now, all of a sudden, ripped jeans are fine. As a matter of fact, they could be very expensive, and certain things are fine, but pink, interestingly enough, is still not really fine. So when I was looking through the information of our guest, I was thinking, I wonder why he picked pink. You know, I still have this thing where pink is for girls, even though I know that's not true. And it's still this thing in my head because I grew up with it. You know, pink actually used to be for men up until the 1940s, because pink was considered strong. It came from red. And so that's more appropriate for boys and for men than it is for girls, because blue was considered soft and gentle. And so that was more appropriate for girls. As a matter of fact, pink is still used as a masculine, there's a masculine association for pink in Japan and some other countries, but not in America. And I think how funny it is that we put each other in box after box. You have ripped jeans, you're poor. Now you have ripped jeans, you're rich. You know, you wear pink, you're a man up until the 1940s, and now you're a sissy or something else after the 40s because it's really a girl's color. I'm thinking, how confused can we make ourselves and each other? And what if we just did what we wanted to do, dress how we wanted to dress? What if we could just be ourselves? So I was inspired to not only wear ripped jeans, but I wore a scarf in the studio where it's actually not very cold right now, but I like it, and it's got the peace sign on it, and I've never worn it. It was a gift. I have never worn it in maybe 5 or 6 years that I've had it. So I'm grateful already to our guest, John Halcyon Stein, who has already made a difference in my life by helping me think pink. So when we come back, we're going to be talking to John a little later on. We're going to have live music by Stephen Day here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo sitting here with Mark, and Mark, you probably have a lot to say on that.
I'm just surprised you didn't tie it into the shape of an ascot.
Oh. Oh, I like that. Actually,
I understand your rebel nature is coming out right now between the scarf and the ripped jeans and the beautiful story, but, you know, hey.
And I would have worn that pink hat, but I gave it away soon after. I was teasing. I couldn't handle it, and I gave it away. Now I'm like, I would wear it. I would have worn it tonight.
Yeah, well, you're going to get another pink hat, and you probably won't take that scarf off ever. So
yes,
life changes.
Once inspired, stay inspired.
Indeed, indeed.
Well, it's so great that we do shows like this to help me and all those who are listening. Our guest is a TV and video host. He's the author and he's the co-founder of First Saturdays, a homeless outreach, and he's a hugger. He is John Halcyon Stein. Welcome to the show, and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a treat to be here. I should have brought something pink for you to wear.
You're wearing it. It's on your head.
I have had pink hair for 12 years now.
Wow.
Round the clock, round the year, which is always interesting during October because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so everyone assumes that I've done it in support of someone.
Interesting.
And while I am supportive of all those fighting, no, that's not why I do it. But I love what you said about the ripped jeans and the kind of what ways people put things into boxes and ways people define you based on, you know, very surface exterior things. I mean, that is why I originally started embracing pink, was because it has a definition in our culture that is totally arbitrary. And it kind of, by me trying to very flamboyantly and overtly embrace something that wouldn't traditionally label me, I hopefully am pushing people to question those labels and those boxes as you realize, oh, you're not what I assumed you would be. Well, good. Well, then let's go deeper.
Nice. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, actually, yes, that was assigned arbitrarily. However, the color pink does have certain significance that is a vibrational thing. And for ages, it's been known as the color of hope. It's a positive color. It inspires warmth and comfort feelings. And it also is the balance between the masculine energy of the red and the more calming, we can say, feminine energy of the white. And it's the combination, it's the balance. So to me, that's what seem to be all about.
It's perfect. So exactly. I mean, I think that pink has all of the love that red does without any of the aggression. You know, red is a love color, but also, you know, it's very aggressive. It's got the blood color, but pink is the color of hugs. And I think that it is a very affectionate.
You can't even say that without changing your voice and smiling and getting huggy.
You know, and I think that there's something about, you know, pink children respond well to pink. Older people respond well to pink. I think that, you know, if I had blue or green, those can be a little punkery, a little maybe too weird out there. But pink really just kind of, I think, invites everybody in. And if it doesn't invite them in, then it's a perfect moat to repel the people that I probably don't want to meet anyways.
Interesting. Okay, so if I wanted to go with the pink hair, where would I get that color?
Well, I would first advise you to think it through, because you're going to have to damage your hair terribly through the bleaching process.
Oh,
so that
first.
It absorbs the dye. And your hair is so beautiful that
okay,
you really should think it through.
But your hair doesn't look damaged to me, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
But I use a color called Special Effects, Atomic Pink, that I
Atomic
order.
Atomic Pink.
But if you have to do it in a pinch, you can get splat hair dye from any grocery store, and that's the one that my face is on the box.
Your face?
Yes.
Is on the box?
Yes, doing the my Zoolander impression. I like to call it my pink steel.
So I was inspired enough to watch videos of you on your video show and also to watch a film, The Pink Path. Could you tell us a little bit about all that?
Sure.
Pink Heart, Pink Path, and all that.
So, you know, I've been very active in the Burning Man Community Festival for 19 years. You know, really quickly, it's a temporary city in Nevada that's governed by these 10 principles, where it's kind of a practice utopia for artists and all sorts of expression. And that's where I initially started trying out wearing pink, and it's where I eventually created a camp there called Pink Heart. And one of the wonderful things about Burning Man is that it's a duocracy. Whatever you think is missing there, you bring. You decide, oh, we need more massage places here. Well, then bring some massage tables. Mm. Oh, we need more bluegrass. Well, then bring some bluegrass musicians. And what I decided what the city needed was, I call it a lighthouse for body, mind, spirit. So it's a bright pink location with pink fur couches and pink shade that people can see day and night to calibrate where you are physically.
I hear the astronauts can see it, actually.
I certainly hope so. although I hope we really haven't figured out where they can land. But now that I know that, the Playa would be a great place.
Technically, you thought Burning Man needed more pink, is what you thought.
More pink, more fuzzy places, more places that are quiet that people could talk. And without loud music, we don't serve alcohol. We serve vegan ice cream. Trying to make it like a lowest common denominator of welcoming.
You know, John, when we talked before, I don't even think I shared this with you. I arrived for my first burn, 2012, at Playa School. And we came in at about 2 in the morning, got settled in about 3, 3:30. And as I stepped out of camp to start taking in the surroundings, if you will, one of the first experiences I had was the moon through the Pink Heart.
Nice.
So it was one of my first very noticeable, very impactful moments.
That's awesome. As Burning Man has gone from an underground thing to being kind of a cultural phenomenon, and you know, Obama's made jokes about it. It's one of my. Something really important to me is to do this acculturation process. And so knowing that's your first thing that you saw, awesome, because I think that there's this really dangerous place that this movement is in as people get attracted to what they hear about with, oh, this cool DJ is going to play there. It's this awesome party, you know, then it's so much more than that. It's such a place where people can learn who they really are and learn how you can interact with people. In a safe, protective way so that you can kind of figure out, oh, my gosh, I am an open-hearted, loving person, even though in the default world, anytime I express myself that way, I kind of get an eye roll and a shun, and it kind of hurts. And so in this magical city, we have these standards of interacting that are far more supportive, and you can kind of build up your strength of the person that you really want to be in the world.
You know, it's a coincidence, or it is what it is. This show is our Halloween show, like right on Halloween. And it's interesting that on Halloween, people seem to dress up like they maybe would rather dress up, some of them, every day. Or even besides that, if somebody came into work dressed as a witch on one particular day or something just because, that would be so cool to us.
Right.
But to the rest of the world, it's like, you know, grow up. It's not Halloween or something, right?
Well, and that's, you know, I think that there's a real gift to giving people permission to express themselves outside of the norms, the scripts, the pressures that the status quo gives them. I mean, in some ways, just having pink hair allows someone to be a little bit wackier at a party.
Right.
Like if you're some guy and you've been nervous about wearing that scarf or that pink shirt that your girlfriend got you to a party, you show up at the party a little nervous and there's a pink-haired guy there. What's the big deal?
Yeah. We're talking to the pink-haired guy that probably everybody on the Playa has seen. So everybody, that's the guy.
Exactly.
I saw him. Or he's the Pink Heart guy. Actually, does Pink Heart have a website?
Pinkheartcamp.com.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
PinkHeartCamp.com, because we have johnstein.com.
That's John Stin.
I've been calling your name.
It was Stein a couple generations ago, and then my grandfather changed it to Stin to try
It's kind of like pink when they.
Well, how do you want it?
Stin.
It's Stin.
Stin
it is.
Rhymes
then.
With gin.
Okay. So John Stin, that's JohnStyn.com. Actually, talking about being who you are on the Playa or Burning Man, I'm curious to know who you were before all of this. So when we come back, I'd like to find out who John Stinn was before maybe even John Halcyon, right?
Yeah.
You added that, right?
I did.
Okay, so I think we're going to tie into
Perfect.
That middle name when we come back, and then a little later on, live music by Stephen Day here on the Life Changers Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and this is Mark. This is
Hi.
Mark.
This is Mark. I'm over here.
And this is John Halcyon Stinn.
Yes.
And so we've been talking to you about Pink and about inspiration from Burning Man and all that. But before Burning Man, who was John?
You know, it's... I think... For a long time, I really wanted to be cool. And so when I think about who I was someone that was really not super tuned in to who I really was trying to do the things, say the things, dress the way that would allow me to fit in and be accepted and be cool. I think I was generally happy. That's only partially too. I was also pretty depressed. And... kind of was going through the motions of what I thought was what I was supposed to do. I was kind of very much on a next step is what's the next success. You know, I was worked very hard in school as a valedictorian, as an honor student in college. I was kind of going step up, 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 and then kind of hit a certain point where I realized that I'm miserable. I can't do it anymore. And then right about that time, I discovered the internet and Burning Man. And those two things said, hey, you know how you thought that life was this highway where you get to choose white-collar job, blue-collar job, or stay-at-home dad, that you have these lanes to pick from? It's actually not lanes. It's a lake. And you can go in whatever direction you want. And there's all these examples of, like, legitimate ways to live that are outside of the scripts and the things that I had taught and learned. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I really can do whatever I want in this world.
So well said.
And said from a guy who was probably doing whatever he wanted, at least as far as the world was concerned. I don't mean to pause you from plunging into that lake. But for a moment, let me take you back. Just to make clear that there are a lot of people listening who are, in my opinion, might be like the 99% to your 1%. Valedictorians are probably like a 0.5% or something like that. You're not even a 1%. You're the number one of the class. All right, so you're at the top of that. You're at the top of this. So everybody, so many people look at you and say, wow, lucky him.
Right. Well, and in some ways that makes it even easier to get to that stage of a spiritual path where you go, wait a minute, the things that people told me was supposed to make me happy are not, because I'm checking all the boxes. I'm getting, gold stars on everything, and it's just not enough. And so maybe was even an extra blessing to get there quicker, because I think eventually we all get to that point where it's like, unless this is something that is driving me from the inside, no amount of gold stars is going to make me feel happy for very long.
Yeah, I'd like to think that everybody would get to that point. I don't want to argue with you. I want to agree with you. And yet I see a lot of multimillionaires, multibillionaires, and who think that having more of that is still somehow the right thing to do. More control over the world and more that. So
you're exactly right. And that's, I guess I would argue that those people, unless they get to a place where they're of service, that it's impossible for them to truly be happy and at peace.
Mm.
No matter, I do not know every billionaire. I've met a few. And the ones that I think have got it figured out are the ones that have made that click and go, oh, it's not about just getting the next, the status.
Mm.
Because, I mean, this is something that I learned at Burning Man as well. There's one of the principles is gifting.
Right.
And that means that it's not barter. It's not exchange this for that. It's not a transaction. Everything there's no money. You just give things to each other. And so, like I said, my camp gives away vegan ice cream and ice water. And when you practice gifting, you have this experience of you get to see someone else have happiness from something that you did. The example I give is on Christmas morning when you give something to a little kid and you know they love it, they open it up and they get all excited, like, yay, plus one. And then you get to see it makes you happy to make that they're happy, plus one. Mm-hmm. Plus one, plus one is plus two, as opposed to a normal transactional interaction where we give things to each other of equal value, plus one, minus one, just kind of sum zero.
Ah,
and so what happens when you start to practice that and realize it, you realize that this model that you've been given your whole life of you want to be happier is to get more stuff, get more status, get more accumulations, get more things. That model maxes out because you get so much stuff. I mean, if we're in America, we are so blessed. We have so much stuff. I mean, that's why people wait in line for a new phone because how much more can you get?
Mm.
But when you start to realize that you can get happier by making other people happier, then the target zone for joy is not just your own body, your own life. It's actually times billions.
Yeah, but how do you make money if you're giving it away?
Well,
I'm playing devil's advocate here, of course.
Well,
you've heard this.
Sure. And I think that's one reason why Burning Man is this great place to practice. And people say, well, why can't we live that way year round? I go, well, it gets a lot more complicated. But there are communities where if enough people are gifting their talents, their gifts, their things, that it works out, where people all can provide things for one another. You know, if you live on a big enough farm, then you can all figure out what your needs are. I would argue that before you quit your job to be full-time gifting, integrate some aspect of gifting into your life. You know, if I work and get money, then I have choices of how I want to use that resources. I can spend it on things that make me happier, or I can spend it on things for other people. Like once I went to Burning Man, I'm like, gosh, I could get a new Lexus, or that's 10,000 servings of ice cream. There's no way that car is going to make me as happy as seeing 10,000 people go, oh, thank you.
Yeah, and we have to make a point that this is in the desert in the summer. So ice cream and ice water are huge.
Exactly.
Well, but, on that note, if I can add, John, because when you, I think the numbers example that you gave is so powerful. But if I can talk energetically for a moment, right? When you're giving something away per se, right? You're giving the money away, and then someone's giving you something. You've that one minus one plus one, that zeroing out. Energetically, that's massive. When you're just giving and then you're feeling that, that's another receive. And then you're feeling the person next to you. You're feeling that child. You're feeling the other children around you. Mm. That just continues to grow.
Yeah.
And I don't think people look at the energetic effects of what they're taking in energetically by being in that gifting mentality.
Exactly. And the other thing is that you also have to kind of practice being a good receiver as well. Mm. That's something that's really hard for a lot of people. But it's actually critical for the system to work. You know, if you, you know, make a meal for someone and they go, oh, you shouldn't have. You know, like, it kind of like, no, I want you to be happy. I want you to say thank you. I want you to enjoy this. Mm. And so when you can start to practice being like, looking someone in the eye and just saying thank you, then you allow them to feel good about giving you the gift. Mm. You know, it's kind of like it allows that energy to really like, boom.
Sure.
I like that. Thank you.
It's important, you know. And the other thing is that so once you start,
I wasn't making a joke. I was seriously saying thank you. No,
I accept.
I was allowing it too.
That when you start to practice gifting in the world, it plays a really significant role in rippling. Like, let's say, you know, I'm at the grocery store now, and the person in front of me can't afford their second item. 10 years ago, I would have been like, "Oh my gosh, how embarrassing!" Mm. But now I'm like, "Ooh, yay! An opportunity for me to gift. Mm. Here's $2." They get to buy their thing, and what's happened in that one moment is now this person in front of me in line, one, they're saved from that embarrassment. Two, they get to look and go, oh, wow, here's an example of someone showing kindness in the world.
Right.
The person behind the counter sees someone, people behind me, and all of a sudden we have this example that it's okay to be kind. I think we're so afraid of being taken advantage of and being that people, it costs me $2.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can spend with $2 that will make me that happy, that I will remember, that people in front of me will remember. Like, that is, and we just don't, we protect ourselves so much that we don't let ourselves be these kind of people that we want to be.
Not to mention that woman telling other people and how she feels probably the rest of the day, wherein she's kinder to people as she's driving down the freeway and kinder to people at work, all because, and it costs $2.
Well, have you ever been in one of those, somebody buys the coffee for the person behind them? There's like these chains, right, that will happen at Starbucks. Well, and the chains will go for hours and hours and hours. People just keep buying them,
You
haven't heard of this?
I've never heard of this.
Oh, so people will like say, I'm going to buy the coffee for the person behind me. And then that person shows up and they go, they just bought your coffee. And people go, oh awesome. Well, I'm going to buy the coffee of the person behind me. And it will, there's times.
That's just on their own. They just say that and they do that. Wow.
It's kind of a thing.
Perfect example of what can happen when you're in that mentality.
And I would guess that every person in that line remembers that forever.
Mm.
And the sad part is that it is so rare. But the cool part is that we can start to go, oh, wait. This is such a small thing, and it can play such a huge part in my life. It goes back to that energy thing. Like, you know, when you start to realize how massive a gifting experience can change just the way you feel in the world.
Well, and energy redefines what gifting is too, right? We're brought up, and what happens with the holidays, you get a box, and birthday, you get a box of a thing. And so, yes, that is obviously can be gifting or buying someone something. But then I remember Jet and I were at a supermarket one day, and we decided to put on little glasses and the fuzzy eyebrows with the nose, and and just went in and started our shopping. But everybody around us started smiling and laughing, and we created this scene. And by the end of the when we were in line, we're talking to everybody, and there's laugh. We ended up giving smiles and laughter and memories and moments.
I'm so glad you said that.
And that was a totally different experience, because it wasn't about a thing, a material thing.
That's so important, because gifting isn't about buying presents for everyone. Gifting is about seeing opportunities in every person to make their day a little bit better. And that means contributing your talents, your attention, your time. Mm. All of those things are ways that you can gift and make someone else's experience in that moment better.
A smile, a hug. You're a hugger.
I am a hugger, yes. I started actually doing Hug Nation right after 9/11 as a opportunity to get people online and remind each other that no matter what you hear in the news, that the world would rather hug you than hurt you.
Wow.
And so it was a, people get in front of their webcams and all kind of practice that, because the narrative online was still us, them, us, them, us, them.
Right.
And so we tried to use the internet to practice that. And so initially it wasn't a physical hug that I was doing. It was intentional. And then, but over the years as being the hug guy, I've gotten a lot of practice in hugging.
He's a good hugger, actually, let me tell you. And if you see the guy with the pink hair, first of all, you need to know that's John Halcyon Stin. So Halcyon, so tell us about that.
So when I was a young pup, I was at a rave and introduced myself in a full head-to-toe blueberry velour outfit. And as I introduced myself and said, "Hi, I'm John," I realized that I was far too flamboyant for that name. And so I instead said, "Oh, you know what? I'm actually Halcyon." And Halcyon is a mythical bird that sailors would say when it came, it would calm the stormy sea.
Mm.
And so now it's a word that means calming or idyllic. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's now my middle name.
And pink is calming. So
sure.
There's a connection.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
It is all connected.
Oh, and so when we come back, I'd like to talk about a little bit about the homeless outreach that you do for Saturdays. And also, I'll tell you what it is also when we come back, actually. So
I trust you.
Thank you for trusting me, and thank you for being here. This is an absolute pleasure. A little later on, we're going to have Stephen Day with live music here on The Life Changes Show, all after this when we come back.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, John Halcyon Stin. Or should I just say Halcyon? Or?
Sure. I'm feeling like Halcyon right now. Okay. Use that.
It's Halcyon. Everybody's in the house. So want to talk about the gift. It's, in a sense, it's the gifting that you do for First Saturdays at Homeless Outreach. But I wanted to offer this. It's a compliment. I feel like you are walking your talk. I watch you on the videos. I watched you in the documentary, The Pink Path, and you just looked 100% there, 100% real, and 100% like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, just inspiring by being.
I really appreciate that. I think that there was a time in my life when I was really trying to be something and trying to manipulate and figure out how to make things happen to get where I wanted to go. And since then, I've shifted, and my mantra now is be present, have integrity, align with love. And then from there, make the choice or the action that needs to happen next. And then just trust that if I do that, then the outcome will be as it needs to be. So, you know, I'm very happy that in doing that, the impression comes across good. But if it didn't, and we're in odds and we didn't get along, then I would trust that that was what was supposed to happen too.
It must be that trust word that is where your courage comes from, because there's one thing about being, but anybody that's listened to you and that's been around you, there is a courage. You're pushing the envelope, and there's not only are you being, but you're pushing the envelope, and you're asking questions and raising awareness from a loving perspective about some challenging subjects and really kind of shining light in areas that a lot of people don't have the comfort, even for those that are somewhat authentic to really kind of delve into, and it's very courageous, and that for me has been very inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. I think trust is a good word. I often use the word faith. Like I just sure. have faith that you know if I get out of the way and let the truth come out, then there might be consequences that I don't like. You know, I could lose a relationship, I could lose a job, I could lose some money and not get what I want, but I have faith that maybe what I want isn't what's supposed to happen, what isn't the ideal. I mean, enough, that's one of the grand gifts of aging is that you get more and more examples of things that didn't go the way you wanted them to that worked out perfectly. Mm. And say, so, oh, okay, well then I'm just going to trust the Tao. I'm going to trust the flow that if I get out of the way and so...
Wait, you're aging? Because you look ageless.
Well, I think that that process of letting go and surrendering does slow down the aging process a little bit.
Okay. Well, hey.
That and the pink hair.
Yes. The fountain of
youth. You can see my sideburns are white.
Oh, okay. All right. There is a sign. So at Johnston, JohnStyn.com, people, there's so much there. Can people find out about how they too could help at First Saturdays?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a, or also firstsaturdays.org is our website. And
is that the number one or F-I-R?
The number one.
Okay.
OneSTSaturdays.org.
Or .org. Okay. Yeah. So tell us about
so
what that
it,
is.
I mean, it really, I, at my 20-year reunion, high school reunion, got back in touch with an old friend who had gone down a very strict Christian path, and I went down my dusty, crooked path, and we realized that we had in common this desire to be of service in the world. And so we started going downtown San Diego and giving things away every First Saturdays and started just publicizing online because I have no choice but to share everything online. And more people started joining us. And we've now been doing it 6 years. Every First Saturdays we go downtown, gather donated clothes, food, backpacks. We make care packs with things like clean socks and toiletries. And then we go to a park and give it away. But one of the significant things about it is that it's very inspired by gifting. Mm-hmm. So before we go downtown or before we go to the park to give it away, we organize the donations. I lead people in this big circle where we get on the same page and recognize that we're not fixing anyone. We're not trying to get anyone off the street. We're not trying to judge anyone.
Wow.
We're a theme camp. We're giving things away because we have extra them. And we're doing it not because they need it. We're doing it because we want to be happier. And when you do something kind to someone else, it makes yourself happier.
Wow.
And so this experience becomes a joyful one. Instead of going, oh, poor them, you go, it's an opportunity to go, hey, I wonder if I can make their moment, their day a little bit better. And it's so huge because if you go out there trying to solve homelessness or end hunger, at the end of every day, you've lost. You fail every day because it's even people go, oh, we ran out of sandwiches. I'm like, we always run out of sandwiches. Mm. You know, there's always going to be one more hungry person. And tomorrow, they're going to be hungry again. Mm. But if you shift and instead say, our objective is not to stop hunger. Our objective is to do kind acts. And that way, every sandwich, win, 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 wow. win, wow. win, win. Wow. And then you end the day and you're like, wow, we just did 400 awesome, nice things.
Wow.
And then the next day you can be energized.
That's like giving ice cream in the desert. You're reminding me that I remember that you said that. You said on one of the videos I watched, you said something like, you can think of it as we're the camp that has the stuff to give and they're the camp who needs it or something
exactly.
or wants it or something. And so they're from that camp.
Yeah.
We're from this camp and we're just sharing or something.
Exactly. Like if at Burning Man, there's so many people trying to give things away that you almost have, like, you have to like, go out in the street with a megaphone. Who wants mojitos? Who wants a mojito? You have to, like, be like a carnival barker bringing people in.
I love that.
But then I got the default back into the default world. I'm like, wait a minute. There are people that need things that are a couple blocks away. Like, why don't we just go to that theme camp and give them the stuff that
all
we have extra
year round, not just for a week or so.
And then it makes it fun because, I mean, everybody can go in their closet and be like, look, this is all this crap. I don't want to throw it away, but it'd feel good to give it to somebody that could use it.
Could use it. Well, there was something else that I remember that you said. You said, don't complain about others not being there or not doing the right thing or something. Just do it yourself or something like that?
Well, that's a big thing that happens when people come home from Burning Man, or just when people get frustrated with the world, you know, and I think it's really easy to get focused on how, gosh, as a planet, we could do so much better. And that could be a really deflating belief system. But if you instead of focusing on how the world isn't living up to its potential, instead focus on how can I live up to my potential, you can shift the whole narrative. And I think that you'll find that even though the world won't change in an instant, you start to attract the people that are living that same kind of way. And you start to like really draw things into your life that makes the world a lot more beautiful.
What else can you say?
Cue the music. I mean, so those videos I was watching, I watched them off your website at johnstinn.com. Is that where we want to send people?
Hugnation.com is where we will take you to like my YouTube, which is updated all the time with all the new content.
Okay. You know what we should do? We should put all those links up on our page that we created for you on our website at Life.
Great.
The Life Changes Show. So can we get those all from you at some point, and then we'll add all those links
Absolutely.
That you mentioned.
Thank you.
So people can follow you and learn from you and be inspired by you. And do you have one where you show how you do your hair?
I do have a few a few hair dyeing. You know, and if I just, you know, as I hear all these nice things, one thing that is very important to me is and I try to share often if you watch enough of my videos is that, you know, I'm sharing my path and the lessons that I'm learning. Yes. And I stumble and I struggle and I try to share this journey as if the lessons that I'm learning are helpful to you, that's beautiful, but I certainly am not trying to come as an authority, as one who's figured it out.
You know, unfortunately, we're going to have to stop here soon, but see, now you say something else that you reminded me that I liked that you said. I actually wrote this down. You said okay, my notes are pretty bad here. Something about, you know, on your way to having an experience, if something happens and you have to buy a new car because your car just broke down or you have to rebuild your tent or something, you know, you might think that you're not having the experience, but these might be the experiences.
That is
something like that, right?
Absolutely. When you can get out of the mentality that the things that don't go your way are the obstacles, but instead recognize that is the journey. I mean, that's then the things that happen to you are not frustrating.
That was one of the best pieces of advice I was given, was that some of the best parts of Burning Man are getting to Burning Man.
Right.
And embracing that mentality of and I can tell you stories, and probably not near as many as you after you know your travels, but I've had some fun moments getting to Burning Man, you know, before you even got there, and that's life.
Yeah. Well, and every obstacle or hardship or struggle allows you to learn a little bit more and stretch who you are. Hmm. And so once you realize, oh wait a minute, this is not a suffering for no reason. This is my education. You know, if you want to be a kung fu master, you go to the dojo and you have the master kick your ass over and over and over again. You want to be a master at life? Get your ass kicked over and over and over by life.
Right.
And you welcome it. Say, thank you, sensei.
Well, I've had some fun experiences on the way to the show.
Right.
And during the show. Not that I looked there, but it was screaming at me for a second. Is that a pink skull you have on your buckle?
It is. It is.
With bejewels.
With pink rhinestones. When I saw this, a street vendor had this in New York, and I looked at it, and I have to have it. I went, and I'm like, oh, man, I just put myself in a terrible haggling position.
Right. He's like, price just tripled.
Whatever. Just.
And on that merry note, we have come to the end of this really fun interview. Halcyon. I'm sorry, that's my accent. Halcyon.
Yes.
This has been amazing. So, John Halcyon
Stein. Thank you so much for having me.
So yeah, thank you for joining us.
Seriously. We'll be right back with live music here in the studio by Stephen Day right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire.
They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. This episode of Think Pink of the Life Changes Show continues with our musical guest, who is Stephen Day. He's a singer, a songwriter, and a composer, and plays an interesting instrument that I don't really know what it is. So first of all, welcome, Stephen Day.
Thank you very much.
And I want to say, am I saying it right? Sarod?
Sarod.
Sarod, yeah. Okay. So tell us about what the sarod is.
The sarod is a 19-stringed Indian instrument that has origins in the Middle East. It has sympathetic strings, and that's what carries a lot of the ring and the beauty, and I'll just play it as I say it.
Ah.
That beautiful ring is our sympathetic strings, and that I don't actually play during the piece of music that I play. It's just to get it all set up and tune it, have the tuning right. And once those strings are tuned that way, then I play the melody notes that those strings are tuned to, and they ring at a resonance.
Oh, they resonate along with it. Oh, yeah. Cool.
So the beautiful resonance of that this piece is...
So that's why it's important to have friends that can support what you're believing in, because... they're resonating around you. I'm sorry, I'm getting really philosophical
here. No, that's
here, but
so true.
They're sympathetic friends.
Friends. Okay. Sympathetic friends resonating at the same vibration.
Very cool, very cool. So how did you come upon this instrument? Like, it doesn't look... Well, it looks Indian.
It's very Indian.
Because you were born in California, raised in Canada, and then you went to France. How does India play in?
The seeking of my youth... at about 18, I had an incredible experience in Italy of joy and kind of transcendent experience that I just couldn't let go of. I knew at that point in my life I had to try to live a life that would incorporate that joy of the spirit, that simple innocence in life. And that took me on a trek and a journey around the practically around halfway around the world, mostly hitchhiking, until I finally got to find a way to get to India. And at that point, I felt... a meditative silence that I'd never felt so profoundly. And I was able to touch upon that simple and innocent joy that I had felt on that summer when I was 18 hitchhiking around Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you're here with a friend of yours, and she is a fellow musician, a singer, right?
Yeah.
Annie Lieberman. And are we starting off with a song first? Or
First, we're going to play, or I'm going to play a raga. It's an ancient Indian traditional piece of music based on, in this case, five notes. It's called Rag Durga, and I'll be playing a solo version of it, which will be quite a bit shorter than what we usually hear. Usually these ragas go for 20 minutes to an hour or so. This will be just a taste.
What is the purpose for it to go from 20 minutes to an hour? Is it to help people get into a meditative state or something?
Yeah, this music is completely synchronized with meditation. Meditation being the harmonization and the connection with the kundalini energy coming up through the seven chakras, the crown chakra, the state of nirvana, as Buddha called it, is completely in harmony with this music. In fact, these instruments and this music is created for that purpose.
Okay. Well, I understand that it used to take people 20 minutes to a half hour to get there. But we're going to get there in, what, two and a half?
Well, you know, that's exactly the sign of the times.
The sign of the times.
Sign of the times. Jet fuel, rocket, kundalini energy coming up through your seventh chakra. Okay. And on that note, I always open my concerts with this intro, and it's very simple. If everybody in the audience wants to put their hands on their hearts, you can all do it here in our room, and if you can do it at home, put your hand on their heart. Your right hand in your heart, and then just desire, pure desire, just say, I am the spirit, and then simply take your right hand and put it on the top of your head where your seventh chakra is, and this is where the fontanelle bone is, and manifest your spirit by saying, please give me my self-realization. Please give me my self-realization.
Hmm.
As you hold your hand above your head, you can sometimes feel a sensation of cool or tingling, and that activates the silence within us that this music completely complements.
And with that, Stephen Day will be performing a raga or Raga Durga here live on the Life Changes Show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Day. You can learn more about Stephen at stephendaymusic.com. You have a couple albums out, right? One is called Namaste. It's a collection of songs, performance songs, right? You also are working on another one, but I should also say that you are quite an accomplished person. You're the founder of Ambiance, a nonprofit organization. You also founded or co-founded Arts and Entertainment Radio, which is the most listened to station in the IBS network of over 45 college radio stations. And you have well-known broadcasters on there like John Tesh and all that. And so how did you do all that and this? And
it all comes down to that meditation energy. I practice meditation every day, and I wake up early, meditate. I get my connection to the universe, source, breathe purely, drink pure water, and then play music every day. Try to do everything I can to stay focused and stay connected to that energy that flows within us that we touched upon in the music and in that meditation exercise.
Well, very good. More power to you. And now I'm very curious, Annie. What Annie Lieberman? What is the connection that you wanted to share here before the piece?
Well, Annie, I'll mention a few things about Annie. We met a few years ago, and then Annie asked to start to take lessons with regard to this music and take a turn in her music career. Annie is a very connected person as well and has gone through a lot of life changes in the process of studying this music. And I think Annie is a perfect example of a different way of experiencing this energy, which is also called Sahaja. Sahaja means spontaneous and easy and natural. So the meditation, hence, is called Sahaja Meditation. That's also online, sahajameditation.com. And Annie's got her experiences with that, and she's a wonderful singer, so I'll let her talk about it.
Well, good to be here. Wow.
It's so good to have you here, actually.
Thank you so much.
I hear you're going to be singing a traditional song in a non-traditional way.
That is correct. We'll be singing Amazing Grace, and I will put my Sahaj spin on it, and hope you enjoy that.
And have us spinning. Okay. Well, here's Annie Lieberman and Stephen Day performing Amazing Grace on the Life Changes Show at Studio NoHo.
Saved a soul like me.
Thank you, Annie Lieberman and Stephen Day. So great to have both of you here.
Good to be here.
Very
wonderful
special.
To be here.
Thank you.
Feeling the changes as we
yes, we're all in a mellow state.
Yep.
What a show it's been. Again, once again, thank you, Annie Lieberman and Stephen Day. And you can find out more about Stephen at stephendaymusic.com. And we also have more information on the Life Changes show page for Stephen Day. Another big thank you to Halcyon, or otherwise John Halcyon Stinn, and you can find out more about him at johnstinn.com. What a pleasure it is to have had you here, and look forward to more and more hugs after the show. We major life changes today, and so thank you to Brent Hahn for this beautiful studio and space where we could do this, and for engineering the show. So a big thank you to Brent Hahn. Big thank you to Doug Newsom, our program manager at BBS Radio, and on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Legere, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you, as your life changes like ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.